following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
We're in a series now called Guardrails, and just to kind of catch us up to speed as to where this all comes from, guardrails, as you know, they're a system designed to keep traffic in the safe zone. Guardrails are placed in areas where the potential of unsafe is imminent. So curves in the road, cliffs on the side of the road, bridges, that type of thing. Guardrails are that type of an instrument. And you have to understand that guardrails, they're planted in the safe part of a road. And so as we talk about, and as we've been talking these last 3 weeks, one of the things that, you know, I really, really want to be careful about, and that is, you know, when we're having conversations like we're having in this series, it's really easy for it to feel, if it wasn't communicated clearly, it could really feel like a legalistic talk. And we really don't want none of that. What we do want is we want to be very aware of what it is that God has asked of us. And so guardrails, as we're going to take another topic, subject matter today, a guardrail is planted in the safe place of the road. And it serves in a way so that once we personally decide and we've defined what we want to do with this guardrail metaphor, this guardrail theme, in other areas of our life, more than just the traffic and the driving of our cars, but in other areas of our life, and we've defined it this way, that a guardrail is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of the conscience. It's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of confidence. It's something you choose. It's something you say, okay, like, I understand the edge, but I want to stay in the safe area of the turn, in whatever that is, and you insert a guardrail. So today, we're going to take on the topic that I think is probably the one that requires the strongest guardrail of any guardrail we can place. And it has to do with our physical, our sexual needs, our sexuality. I mean, this one, listen, it needs like steel, concrete reinforcement. This guardrail we're talking about here today. And that is because in the area of our sexuality, there's a lot of things that we can recover from. I mean, we can blow through a guardrail, financially speaking, and we can recover. We can blow through a guardrail, maybe educationally, and it'll hurt. But you flunk the course, you take it again. You know, you can blow through a career guardrail or professional guardrail. You can get fired from a job. You can find another job. There's something about today. It's just got me feeling quite urgent. When somebody blows through this guardrail, nobody's laughing. This one really hurts. This one's very difficult to sometimes recover from. And so I already know, you know, that there's going to be a quiet room here today. I want to be really aware of that. I want to be sensitive to that. At the same time, oh my goodness, I want to be so clear. And I really do want God to speak to every one of you individually. I want you to really hear from God. Because there's just really something about when we blow through guardrails like we're talking today. I mean, it's something that lingers in our memories. It's something that lingers in the way we do life. It's just something that it just hangs on. And yes, we can be forgiven. And yes, we can move on. But friends, listen. there's something really important about today. And I really do think this is one of the areas that just requires the strongest thought, the strongest reflection, so that we can really personally decide the standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience in the safe part of the road, but nonetheless a guardrail that when we bang into it, we say, okay, God, I'm sorry. And you haven't even sinned. But it's something that you've put there, something that you've put in the road that is going to keep you from cliffing it. So today, I've asked Kyle to do a little bit of a team teaching with me today, and he's going to take a portion of this. What I want to do is I want to walk through a passage in Scripture that's, you know, really pretty clear. Some of you might even think, wow, boy, you know, that's pretty extreme. I don't think so. You might think so. I think that there's some things that I really want to say today, Kyle's going to say today, that are going to be, you know, extremely explicit and very, very specific when it comes to guardrails with our sexuality. And I have a list that I want to unpack for married people, and Kyle's going to have a list that he's going to unpack for single people. That's what we're going to do. Are we excited? All right. The passage I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Not be careful. Not watch out. Not get as close to the line as you can. Flee. Now, here's the thing I know about you. You want this to be true of your wife. You want this to be true of your husband. You want this to be true of your children. You want this to be true of your sister. You want this to be true of your brother. You're just not so sure you want it to be true of you. Why? Here's why. Because we like to flirt. We like to get to that line in some ways. Somehow we believe there's something that is going to give us a little more life. And it's the strangest thing. We sometimes say, well, I don't know exactly where the line is for sexual immorality. Am I getting hot? Am I getting cold? Where is it? And here's the problem. You know, again, in this area, culture does us no favors. I mean, in this area, there's no help. Culture actually, no kidding, baits us to the edge. And so the problem with the cliff is that culture baits us to the edge of the cliff. And when we fall off, they make fun of us. Everybody knows. Everybody in culture knows. It's not a good thing for a young girl, a young teenage girl, to get pregnant. That's common throughout our culture. I mean, there's just, everybody agrees, certain age little girls, they should not be getting pregnant. There's this general consensus that says, young teenage girls, if they become pregnant, that is a problem. Have you been in the mall lately? Seriously. You walk the halls? It's crazy. Explicit posters and displays and Licenza, whatever. Like, I honestly walk by that place and I just, this is a different day. I don't know how culture can beat people up so bad when they know that over there somewhere there's something wrong, and yet they bait and they bait and they pull young teenage girls right to the edge. And then we wonder, well, why did they get pregnant? Well, have a look around. Everybody agrees that there's somewhere out there a line where if males are involved in some kind of inappropriate sexual activity, such as porn and other, everybody agrees in culture. There's a line somewhere, and once you've passed across that line, it's too much. And guys, you know what we all know. Turn on the TV. Every time we turn it on. Every time we walk in a mall, every time we flip through a magazine, we're being baited. You do know that, don't you? We're being tugged a little more to the line all the time. And I mean, and then some guy, he finally falls and he becomes addicted or in some kind of a behavior. And we have this sense almost in culture that says, that's disgusting. It's just like, you know, well, what's wrong with him? Well, what's wrong with him is that culture baited him exactly the way that culture baits. Unfortunately, he fell for the very thing that culture's doing. And then they chastise us for that. We're not getting any help from our environment. I mean, come on, let's really be honest about this. You know, let's go just a little deeper on this. We all entertain having an affair, don't we? Turn the TV on. Every movie that I've been seeing in the last number of months, there's always an affair. Why? Why is there always an affair on movies that we see? I mean, it's crazy when you think about, when's the last movie you've seen when there's actually been a love scene between a married couple? It'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. See, that's what's happening. We're just being baited and baited and baited. And so there's just this strange, crazy thing that's going on. And, you know, when somebody actually then falls into being baited or they actually have an affair, we say, well, how come they? Well, because it's all our environment. All of these things and more we could just do to set up the importance. That's why we need to talk about what we're going to talk about here today. We need to talk about guardrails. Some of you are going to push back on me on this, I know. But I'm going to do it anyway. I just think that, you know, after a while, you've seen enough people hurt themselves in the area of sexuality, in marriages that have just been coming apart, that there's just something that somebody needs to say. Because culture is not helping. So I've titled today's message, More Than Just Safe Sex. There's got to be more. And what it is, it's there's got to be some guardrails. Okay, verse 19, let's carry on. Do you not know? Paul's saying, you know, implying that they didn't know, and maybe some of you today, you're not going to know something that Paul's going to say here in a moment as well, and that is that your bodies are temples. Do you not know that your bodies are temples? God says that your body, your human body, is a temple. And this is a beautiful thing because it means that there's something that God is doing that has made our body holy, actually made it right, righteous, so that there's something good. Even in spite of all of the wrong that we've been about, God says, I am in you, and there's something about your body now. It's become a temple because I, the Holy Spirit, I'm residing in you. It says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, that's a profound thought. I've referred to that a couple weeks ago. When you think about the Holy Spirit actually in you and in me. Wow. So your body is sacred because when a person surrenders to God, God's Spirit lives in us. And that changes everything. So God says, look, don't you know? Your bodies, they're temples. They're holy because I'm in you. Verse 19, whom you have received from God. So the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Your body is very special. Then listen, you are not your own. Your body just doesn't belong to you. God moved into your body. You're not your own. Verse 20, you were bought with a price. And it's saying that Jesus came, he died for your sins, and he purchased you. You've been purchased from sin. You don't have to do what your desires tell you anymore. So there's something of a transaction that has taken place. God's Spirit residing within us. We're in authority of another master. Verse 20 again, therefore honor God. Therefore honor God. Honor God with your bodies. So the whole context of these verses is a discussion about sexuality. It's saying flee from it. Flee from sexual immorality. Don't you know that God resides in your body? You are not your own. You've been purchased with a price. And the price is Jesus giving his life. God says, here's what I want you to do with your body. Make sure that you honor it with me. Honor it for me. And so if it's dishonoring to God, then don't do it to your body. If it's dishonoring to God, don't take your body there. If it's dishonoring to God, don't look at that. If it's dishonoring to God, don't think about that, which means, practically speaking, we need some guardrails. For the next few minutes, I really want to be specific about these things. The decision that you make, you need to make. But I want to just give you some very specific things that I want you to consider. But I want to say this, though, too, and that is, for some of you, if you don't consider this and make some choices, make some decisions, establish your guardrails, if you don't do that, then you've decided to just kind of wing it. And that's going to be a real problem, I think, simply because there's a crash going to come your way. Culture is not helping you out on this. You may sound like, that sounds extreme, you know, where we're going. I don't think it is. I'm going to go over this list, and some of you may say, nobody's going to do that, Mike. I'm not going to do that, Mike. Okay. But I want to say, you know, and I want to set it up a little bit that there's a little heat here, but let's just say in 2 years from now, you come up against a spiritual circumstance, you know, in your life where you find yourself like, there's just a sexual disaster, you know, staring at you in the face. Maybe you got your girlfriend pregnant. You know, maybe there was an inappropriate touching with someone that was not your spouse at the office. And let me just ask you, like, in that moment, and you don't know if your girlfriend's pregnant, you don't know, in that moment, will you pray? God, would you help her? Please, God, not to be pregnant. Would you pray that prayer? Here's the answer. Absolutely yes. You'd pray that prayer even if you don't believe in God. So I want us to really be sober-minded here this morning. And I know that we're talking about some fairly sober-minded things. But please, brothers, please, sisters, please, would you give this some serious thought? You know, as I walk through this, I've got a list for marrieds. Kyle's going to list out some things for singles. Here's the list for marrieds. First one I've got is this. And these are guardrails that they're for me. Okay? So the number one thing, and that is, don't travel alone with someone of the opposite sex. Just don't. Now, is it a sin to? Of course it's not. I just think that there's a guardrail there that should be really established. And so, you know, I say to our staff, don't travel alone with someone of the opposite sex. Like, that's the way we do things. And if there's a time or a place where that has to be the case, somebody needs to be given a heads up about that. It's just the way we do what we do. As a husband, I want Therese to know, like, that's just the way it works for me. There's just so many things that, you know, can happen, you know, that grow into the next thing. So maintaining margin morally, I just think it's a great, healthy thing to consider. You know, I'm a married guy. I don't want to travel alone with a single gal or a married gal with just two of us in the car. I just don't want to do that. That's my number one guardrail. I don't think I've lost anyone yet. Number two, don't eat alone with members of the opposite sex. And I know some of you, I can feel it already. Mike, you are way too conservative for me. That's okay. I'm not done yet. Here's what I mean by this. I I meet with ladies that are leaders in our church from time to time, and this is just the way that it works for me. I'll meet with you at Starbucks anytime. There's just something about the meal. So I don't do lunches and I don't do a dinner. There's been times where, you know, I've planned to maybe meet a husband and a wife, and the husband hasn't been able to make it. And I just want, you know, to somehow allow Therese to know, you know, what's gone on. And so often I'll tell her after the fact. You know, the more that I've thought about this and considered this, I think it would be appropriate for, you know, if that were ever the case, I would just, cell phones are so on our pockets all the time, I'd just give her a quick call and just say, hey, just so you know, this is going down. And I don't want to be weird about it. I don't want to send a weird dynamic about it. It's just a guardrail. My number two is I just would say it's really, really good. Don't eat alone with someone of the opposite sex. And you can think about that. Number three. Don't confide in members of the opposite sex. Now, this one is a big one. And this is a real interesting one being a pastor. But I think that even in spite of all of that, this is one that's really significant. I just think that, you know, what takes place is, you know, this is why what people go out for lunch for. You know, they go out for lunch and what do? They confide in one another. That's why you do lunch. And you hear things like, you know, no one's ever listened to me like this before. No? No. Well, let's do this again. And so then lunch becomes dinner, and dinner becomes working late, and it's like, good grief. You know, it's like a bad movie. You're like, you already know where this is going. You know where this is leading. And, you know, the problem, though, is that sometimes I hear people say, but they need me. No, they don't. They need help, but they don't need you. And you don't need them. And I think that what we have to do is, similar to what I said last week about, you know, the way we choose our friends, we have to be very careful friends. We do not confuse having compassion for someone and mixing that up with wisdom. We cannot do that. And I think that there's something that has got a lot of people into trouble. You'll say, well, Mike, that doesn't sound very compassionate. Well, it's the most compassionate thing I can say, both for you and your marriage and them and their life and potential marriage. I think it's just really an important thing. You see, and here's why I believe that. It's a real dangerous thing, isn't it, when we allow our emotional worlds to get intertwined with someone else's. I mean, you've crossed an invisible, intangible line, dangerous line, this line of intimacy when we do. Because intimacy, which is really all we really all want, you know, it's not really sex. Guys here are saying, no, it's just sex. And, no, it's actually not. It's intimacy. That does not start from a physical standpoint. It starts from an emotional one. And so when one starts to share, you know, that confiding in, that's emotional. And that's why it's really dangerous. And that's why, friends, you're going to have to figure this thing out for yourself. But you're going to have to establish a guardrail. On where should that guardrail be? I mean, again, the most compassionate thing I think I can do for you, for your family, for the other person, is to get them help, but to refuse to be the shoulder that she cries on or that he cries on. I want to say that as clear as I can. Number four, when you feel your heart drifting toward a specific person, listen. Tell someone. When you feel your heart drifting toward a specific person, tell someone. I'm not telling you that you should start off by telling your spouse. I mean, there's a time when you do that, but there needs to be somewhere safe. And that's why we have a men's group. And that's why we have a women's group. There needs to be someone where you could say, if you're a woman, you know what? Like, there's just something, you know, that's going on. I find it kind of awkward for me, but there's this guy at work, and it just kind of gets to me, and I don't know what it is. You should really tell someone that. If you're a guy, you know, there's this girl at work, and every time she comes by, she's so chatty and friendly, and I don't know why. I'm a little embarrassed about it, but I find my thought life moving toward her. Friends, you should tell someone. You say, is that, you know, extreme? No. You know, is it necessary? Yes. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Again, a guardrail is that area on the safe part of the road that you have to decide. What are you going to do with that? You know, to really, you know, do God's bidding when it comes to your marriage. And one more thing. Your spouse needs to know where your guardrails are. And your spouse needs to be comfortable where you put your guardrails. I can't emphasize this enough. In fact, maybe some of you are here and you're saying, you know, I've been trying to tell him for so long, and you find yourself here and you say, oh, what a bad Sunday to come. Here I am, I'm listening to this message. And so here you are. But God is trying to use your spouse to save your life. You've got to have a conversation. You've got to have a conversation that happens between married people so that, you know, I know that Teresa knows where my guardrails are. And I know where Teresa's put her guardrails. And I'm okay with that, and she's okay with that. You see, everybody needs to know where the guardrails are. Your spouse needs to know where your guardrails are. You need to know where your spouse's guardrails are. Everybody needs to know. And the reason that this is so important, because here's the deal. Let's say you're having a meal with someone that is not your spouse, and you've decided that that actually is a guardrail that you want to establish, and you're having that meal anyway. And there's something that as you're having that meal, your conscience is going, but you promised. And there's something in you that feels like you're doing something wrong. It's not a sin. It's a guardrail. And it's something you've established to protect your marriage. And so you find yourself feeling things. That's what guardrails do. And that's why we really do need to strongly consider this. But if you don't have them, you're not going to feel bad about anything until it's too late. And it's like, oh, what have I done? Yeah. And then there's a lot of damage. And it's a difficult road, friends. Okay. That's to marrieds. Kyle, come on up. Kyle's one of our interns. And I've asked him to just share a few things from, you know, his life as to what these guardrails look like in him. And, you know, really, what I love about this morning is, like, if he doesn't get this right, I have to have to talk with him because he is dating my daughter after all. So this is kind of built-in accountability. It's a real pleasure to do this with Kyle, actually. And so we've had a chance to really talk some of this stuff through. And so would you welcome him? Feel a little hot? Not at all?
No.
You got to have the green light on. So, Kyle, give us your first guardrail.
So, number one, Mike already said it, but confiding in with married people, so that, like, with me being a guy, for me to sit down with a married woman one-on-one and for us to pour out our hearts to one another, it can't happen. Same with girls sitting down with married men, pouring out their hearts to one another. It can't happen because, like what Mike said, the thing that makes a marriage so beautiful is the intimacy. And the way that you are intimate with one another is you are exclusive with one another, right? And you have no idea what kind of landslide you can start just by simply opening up your heart to one another, right? Like you look at any movie, and sure, the guy gets the girl at the end, but at what cost, right? At the cost of a marriage. That's something beautiful that God has set aside for one man and one woman. And without even really realizing it, you've wrecked that. And I mean, it starts out with something so innocent, just like, oh, hey, how's it going? Let's go for coffee. And then coffee turns into lunch. Lunch turns into dinner. And then dinner's like, oh, why don't you come on over to my place? And at that point, something very interesting happens. I mean, God has created us to be sexual beings. That's what we are. It's how he's made us. And so when that point comes, when that flick is, like that switch is flicked on, there's no stopping it. And so you say, okay, well, I'll just set a guardrail up. I won't go inside their house. I think that at that point, that's too late to have a guardrail. That guardrail is already kind of halfway down the cliff. That's why the guardrail is set up so high, like don't eat alone with a married person one-on-one. Don't confide in with a married person of the opposite sex. That'd be my number one.
This one hits me pretty personally, too, at a level, because I have a good friend, had a wonderful wife and four kids on a worship team, different part of our province, and did coffees with a single gal from the worship team of this particular church. And their marriage is over now. And it all started. It all started with a coffee. Hate that story because it was avoidable. Good job on that one. Got another?
I do. My number two is sleepovers. Now, I know I wouldn't do this. I mean, obviously, I'm dating Alicia, because if I did...
That's still the right answer.
I'd get shot. I would get shot. So this is an easy one for me to say. But sleepovers. So, I mean, it starts off, I see it in two different ways. One, it can start off even after a night of drinking. And, you know, she's too drunk or he's too drunk to drive home. And so, oh, just crash on the couch at my place. That's fine. Don't worry about it. And then it starts off, oh, you know what? I'm pretty cold. Like, can I have a blanket? And then it's, oh, sure, here's a blanket. And then it's like, you know what? Like, can I just hop in with you? It's honestly, you laugh at it, but that's how it goes. Like, I went to a school that was just infested with partying. It's, you look back at it, and it's disgusting. And that's how quickly it starts. Like, it starts off, you think you're being so nice and you're so kind. Yeah, sure, stay at my place, that's fine. And then before you know it, she's in bed with you, and then I don't need to explain the rest, right? And I mean, you can also look at it from the point of a dating relationship. And I mean, maybe it makes sense financially to have your girlfriend stay at your house because it's closer to her work. You know, she's not paying as much for groceries, da-da-da, right? And you guys are sharing the same room, right? But I mean, that is just such a sketchy, slippery slope. That's where you put that guardrail up. That's where it is. You can't stay at my house for the night. You can't do that. Like, I have a friend, and he was staying at a house with another friend, and his girlfriend was staying at that house too, and one night he was gone, and so it was just my friend and this girl in the house, and he just said, you know what, I'm sorry. I can't do this. Like, you got to go. Like, you got to go back to your house. And her house is a bit of a drive, and she's pretty choked because it's so far away from her work, but like, it's just got to happen. It's got to happen. So that's number two.
And everybody said? And everybody said?
Nothing. Amen.
Nervous laughter in the room, eh? It's good. Yeah, I'll hold you accountable to that one, Kyle. Number three.
So if a date implies or it means the same thing as sex, that's got to stop. No questions asked. If you go on a date and sex is just included, no, it can't happen. It can't happen at all. You just look at it. I mean, you need to take some time to figure yourself out. And not just a week, not 2 weeks, not a month, but I'm saying a whole year that you need to take off from relationships. No joke. A whole year. You need to allow time for your mind to be renewed, for your heart to be renewed, for you to see woman in a different way, for you to see love in a different way. Love is not sex. Sex is something that God has put aside for marriage. And it's a beautiful thing, right? Like, how can it not be beautiful? I mean, God made it, right? It is a beautiful thing. But it's to be had within the confines of marriage. And that's it. So when you date, you need to find other ways to show your love and appreciation toward your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It can't happen. It's got to stop. And so if a date means sex for you, something's got to happen. Like right now, today, it's got to happen. Because that is, without a doubt, the most slippery slope to be on as far as guardrails go. For sure.
Thanks. Just hang on up here. So you may be thinking to yourself about the list that we've just shared, and you may be thinking, you know, that's really quite extreme. I don't know what you're thinking, but that may be what you're thinking. You may be thinking, wow, you know, some of that really makes sense. Here's the thing that I know that we all want. Like, it's our dream, isn't it? Like, at some point in time in our life, this is what we long for. We long for a kind of intimacy that we can live out and enjoy for the rest of our life. Now, that's really just true of every one of us. It just is true. And so here's what God has said. The only way you're going to achieve that is by the way you do the turns in the areas of your sexuality. You cannot play loose and achieve intimacy. Let me say it as clearly as I can. So, to you singles, you're having sex with your boyfriend, your girlfriend right now, and you have the same dream that we all have, and that is intimacy. Here's the problem. Every time you have sex, guys, you're communicating to the girl you love that you could slip around that curve before you're married. Who's to say you won't after you're married? See, here's the thing. You do not want your future wife to question your faithfulness. So you have this shot to prove, like, deep-rooted, guard-railed love, exclusivity. You only, babe. You only. And you get to prove it to her, because before you say, I do, you guarded that area of your life. And now the coolest thing about this is that Jesus offers a way out to those that have crashed through guardrails with our sexuality. Maybe you've crashed through. Maybe you're here today and you're having an affair. Man, I'd pray today you'd end it. Maybe today you're here and you're sleeping with your boyfriend, you're sleeping with your girlfriend. Today I would want to say, you got to stop. Why? Because I long for an intimacy in your future marriage that won't provide. That will hinder it. There will be dings and there will be bruises that you can't even imagine until after the fact. God's right on this. God says, flee sexual immorality. Don't you know? Don't you know that, like, your body is not your own? My spirit is in your body. You belong to me. You're under my authority now. So, like, worship me with the way you use it. So figure out whatever guardrail you need, but put them down. Romans 12 says this very interesting verse. It says, you know, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our act of what? Worship. God says, flee. I really want to call us as a church, would we just do well to submit to God on this one? If you're here today, and you've got some scars and some bruises from crashing through, know God is able to forgive, and know that we are here as a family. We'll walk down cliffs to get you. We'll walk with you, but there's damage that you will experience that God can heal you from, but you'll probably always have a bit of a scar and residue, and you'll walk with a limp. What God is trying to say is, I want to save you from walking with a limp. So for those of you that, you know, you're listening to this and you've never really given it some thought and you haven't gone off the cliff, put some guardrails down today. Figure out what that is. Use the ones we've shared. If you don't like the ones we've shared, then do some work. Open God's Word. Find out what it looks like for you and do it. Allow it to become a personal standard of behavior. It becomes a matter of your conscience that God can use to keep you set free so that you enjoy intimacy exactly the way God designed it. See, if sex is the fire, God brought the matches. Let's listen to Him on this. Let's honor God on this. We need some guardrails. Worship team, would you come on up? As you do, I'm going to pray. Would you stand with me as I do? So, Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to know the truth. Your love never fails. Nothing can separate us from your love. We are your children. I love that. And I want to pray over every one of us here today that we would really cling and hold on to that truth today. But what we have talked about here today, God, is extremely significant. There's something about today that really affects the intimacy that we have with you. And if we run through guardrails, God, sexually speaking, it not only damages the relationships that we have with the people we love the most, but it really does break down our intimacy with you. And so, Lord, I want to pray that, Lord, we would be soft-hearted, humble, as we come before you and admit our need for you. And that, Lord, if there's some things in our life that are just not going to allow you to develop within us what it is you dream of doing, God, may we have the courage today to do what's right. So, God, with every person here, as they are thinking about what they've just heard, I pray that they act out what it is calling them to do. In your good name, I pray. Amen.